Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Nice to see everybody, and welcome to class number 78 in the Torah Motion's ongoing series at A Close Look at the Seder. So we're getting closer to Kriyat Shema. Hopefully today we'll finish up the bracha of Yotzer HaMorot, and then we'll get started with the bracha of Arava, or if you daven Nusach Svart, Avat Olam. Okay, so we were discussing last week, we're in the middle of the bracha, you know, the last paragraph of the first bracha before Shema, two brachot before, one after, and then in the evening, of course, it's two and two, the way we do it. So it's seven. The number seven, with seven blessings, we praise God before we say the Shema. So we're just finishing up now the first, really, of what is the seven brachot that surround Kriyat Shema. Today, our practice, we have eight. For those who say Baruch Hashem L'olam Amen V'Amen, so there's a third bracha, but that we'll get to, and please God, I don't know in how many years, when we get to Mari, discuss Baruch Hashem L'olam, what that's doing there, and why some people do say it, don't say it, etc. Okay. So, we discussed last week all the wonders that God does, the strength and the power that we went through last week. So now we're coming to the end of the bracha. We begin with, depending on your seder, but just a few lines before, God who renews in his goodness every day the creation of the world. Now that's important that we have that phrase at the beginning of the bracha. That will become an important point in a moment. Okay, then that's just, and then we say, Lo Sarim Gedolim Ki Li Olam Chasto, God makes great light. Ki Li Olam Chasto, that of course is taken from Tehillim 136. That's the what we call Hallel Hagadol, the 26, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto, which we say on Shabbat and we say at the Pesach Seder. And that's, anybody know why we say 26, Hodu Lashem, what the rabbis explain? Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto, that there are 26 of those. So one of them, Lo Se'orim Gedolim, they all end, Ki Li Olam Chasto, God's kindness endures forever. Why do we say 26? So that is because there are 26 generations that of kindness of God that the world existed before Moshe Rabbeinu. So there are 10 generations to Noah, 10 more to Avram, that's Avram's generation 20, and then 6 generations till we get to Moshe. And the idea that God, the world cannot exist without Torah. God, Histakel Bo'araito Bara Alma, God looked in the world and he looked in the Torah and he created the world. The Torah is the architectural blueprint of the world, which means, of course, that the Torah, it should be natural. Like, it's not like beyond capacity. You look at the Torah and then you build the world so it can fit into the Torah. No, but it took 26 generations till we got the Torah. So what right does the world have to endure? So that's Ki Li Olam Chasto, then God's kindness, the world endured for 36 generations. Now, Lo Se'orim Gedolim is probably a reference, of course, creation. Shnei HaMorot HaGdolim, the two great luminaries, the sun and the moon, that were created. Okay, and then
Could it be related to the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei?
It might be, yeah. It relates to the gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm not a gematria guy. I know I said I'm not a grammar guy, but gematria are parparot lechachma. They're nice. They're beautiful things. So yeah, I'm sure. Listen, if we believe there are no coincidence, everything is interconnected. So 26, yeah, the Yud Kei Vav Kei represents God's essence. Yeah, I'm just trying to think why Dafka here though, like 20. You know, it's just interesting. I don't know. I don't know, but it's in the, thank you for that point. Okay. So then we say like this. What I want to focus on now is the end of the bracha. Or chadash on tzion te'ir, v'nizke kulanu mehera li'oro. God shall bring an or chadash, a new light on Zion, te'ir, a new light on Zion, 1948, creation of the state of Israel, however you want to interpret it. Or chadash on tzion te'ir, God should shine a new light. V'nizke kulanu, we should all merit Mehera, quickly to this light. Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer HaMorot. So we know that, maybe we don't know, but every bracha has to, every long bracha, there are two basically types of bracha. We have a bracha ksara and a bracha arucha. A short bracha, Bori Pre Eitz, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. It's one, you know, one sentence, one little theme. So that's it. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, or Asher Kitchanu Mitzvotav. And we say 5 words, 6 words. Bori Pri Eitz, Bori Pri Agafa, and Bori Pri Adama, 3 words. And then we have longer brachot. So the Shmon Esrei, they're longer brachot. Atachonein Adam Dad, Umelmeid Lanosh Bina. No, the brachot are longer. So of course these brachot here are much longer. The Birchot HaShachar are very short. Noten Esachvi Bina Lakvim Ben Yom Yilayla. Pokeach Ivrim, Alvishar Ramim, Matir Sarim. All the brachot we discussed at the beginning. So these brachot are longer. What's the difference between a long bracha and a short bracha besides its length, of course, is the, we have two halachot, two laws that apply when we make a long bracha. Number one, it begins with Baruch and it ends with Baruch. So we say this bracha began Baruch Ata Hashem, Yotzer Or Uvor Echoshech, Oseh Shalom, and it ends Yotzer Hamorod. It's the same idea. The Baruch Ata Hashem Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechov Ben Or Lechoshech, Baruch Ata Hashem Hamavdil Ben Kodesh Lechov. So every bracha has to have the beginning starts with Baruch and the end starts with Baruch. That's what defines a longer bracha. Now, half of our brachot are an exception to the rule. And that's because, if it's what we call a bracha hasmucha lechavertav, it's a bracha next to another bracha, like the Shmon Esrei, just one after another. So, atachonein follows on atakadosh, right? We begin Baruch atah Hashem. Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Abraham. We begin Elohei Abraham, and we begin Magen Abraham. As a matter of fact, the Talmud is concerned. We say Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. So why don't we end Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? It really should be all three, because the ending has to parallel the beginning. But whatever the reason is, Abraham is a special merit to Abraham. That was God's, blessing as the founder of the Jewish people. So we begin and we end, and the beginning and the end have to have the same theme. As I said, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Hakol, beginning and the end. But if we have a bracha immediately following, that second bracha doesn't have to open with Baruch. The ending of the bracha before is good enough. So we say Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Abraham, but we don't say Baruch Ata Hashem Atagibor. We say Atagibor, Lazam Hashem. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Torah, Shlach Lanu Avinu. No, the bracha doesn't begin. So to here, Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer HaMa'orot, and then we're going to begin Ava Rabba. We're not, if Ava Rabba was an independent bracha, then we would begin Baruch. That, by the way, is we have this at Sheva Brachas. When you make a Sheva Brachas at a wedding. So we say Baruch Atah Hashem. Okay, so the first three brachot, you have no choice because it's a small bracha. There is no beginning and end. So Yishako Bara Lifodo Yotzer Adam. And then all of a sudden we say Sameh Sostasis V'Takel Akara, because that follows on Yotzer Adam. Sostasis. Then we say Sameh Desamach Rayim Avim. Makes sense, because the previous bracha ended with Baruch, so the next bracha, they're a little bit longer. Talk about Zion, return to Israel, Sameach to Samach, the joy of the Chatan Bekala. So they begin Sameach to Samach. All of a sudden, the seventh bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem HaKemach, Sher Yatzar, Sher Yatzar, but I don't know, the bracha got all confused. Baruch Atah Hashem, right? Why do we begin that bracha, Sameach Chatan Bekala, with Baruch again? It's next to the Mesameach Chatan V'Kala, right? So the next bracha should say, which should begin, Asher Barasa Son V'Simcha Chatan V'Kala. Why do you have the Baruch Ata Hashem at the beginning? Anybody? I didn't look this up. I just sort of, this popped into my mind. Anybody know? Because that bracha can be said independently. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it could even be you don't need a minion for that bracha. I have to look that up. But that bracha is really an independent bracha, even though it's the last of the Sheva bracha. So we say it normally with the Sheva bracha, but there are times that bracha could be said independently. And since it's theoretically an independent bracha, that bracha can start with Baruch, because it's not always going to follow on the bracha of Sameach to Samach. I hope I'm clear about that. Basically, what I said is when you have these longer brachot, so it's supposed to begin with Baruch and with Baruch, unless it's subsequent to another bracha, then it doesn't have to begin with Baruch. But if it's just an independent bracha, then it always begins Kiddush, Abdallah. They all begin with Baruch and end with Baruch. Now, And then what's important for our purposes is they have to repeat the same theme at the beginning and the end. So we said the theme, so Yotzer HaMarot, Yotzer, how did the bracha bring? Yotzer Or Uvarachoshech. So here comes the problem. This is the problem the commentaries discuss. Or Chadash. What's the Or Chadash? So if we follow the rule of a bracha, so the bracha began 8 weeks ago, whenever we started this. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokim Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Uvarechoshech Oseh Shalom Urein Tekol. What's that Or referring to? Then we say Hameir La'aretz. God gives light to the land, those who live on it. So what light are we referring to? Presumably,
the sun.
The sun, like nature. Hameir La'aretz. No, what's Yotzer Or? I'm sorry. What's Or Chadash? Or Chadash sounds like this newfangled light. This is, as some say, it's the light of creation. When remember that Vayihi Or comes on day one. The sun comes on day four, but light comes on day one. That's right. Of course, there's a parallel between one and four, two and five, and three and six, right? Day one is light. Day four is the sun. Day two is the separation of the earth and this and the earth and the heavens, and day five are the birds and the fish, you know, and day three is the land, and day six are mammals and man who walks on land. So there's a clear parallelism between day one and four, day two and five, day three and six. But two and five, three and six, we all get it. It's a little bit different, but what exactly is or no sun? So that's a Rashi quotes that God created this beautiful light, but it's not good. The wicked are gonna mess up. So God hid that light for the future. So that's what many people, Or Chadash, we want this light of creation, this beautiful light, you want to call it the messianic light, whatever, some beautiful light. So the Rosh says, people didn't say this in France. They skipped a line. It's very nice, but you can't say it. Because the bracha is about nature. It's about the sun. The ameir la'aretz, tuvo mechadesh, b'chol yom. So you cannot say this because the ors are not, it's like, whoever thought of that, right? That the or at the beginning is nature. So you can't say at the end an or chadash. That can't be good. So the Rosh says they didn't say it. They skipped it in France. He says, he disagrees with that. He said the practice was they didn't say it, but he disagrees they should say it. So he has a chiddush that everybody agreed that Yotzer Or at the beginning is about on the sun. So he says no, that the Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Yotzer Or Uvarechoshech, that's not the sun, that's the Or of the first day of creation, the special Or that now we're asking God to return it. It's not the nature creation. Then we switch. Then we go from that or to the or, Hameir La'aretz. But that's how the Rosh explained it. So even when we said in the beginning, Yotzer Or of Uvarechoshech. So I think we instinctively, and I think that's how most commentaries do explain it, that's referring to the or of the sun. But the Rosh says no. Rosh died in 1327, right? The Rosh was went from Germany to Spain, becomes the rabbi in Toledo in 1304 or something like that. He was the student of the Maram of Rutenberg, and they tried to escape. The Maram was put in jail by the Germans, but the Rosh moved to Spain, and he dealt with a lot of issues because, I mean, for him personally, because Ashkenazi, he was Ashkenazi, and yet he comes to a Sephardic community, pretty different. So all the differences in practices. No. But anyways, the Rosh is one of the greatest of all time. He's one of the three pillars in the Shulchan Aruch. He's in the back of the Gemara. So he said it wasn't said, but that's a mistake. They should say, but the or and the or, the two ors at the beginning and the end are the or, this special, I don't know what it is exactly, some divine light that we haven't yet merited. Okay. That's what he said. And yeah, someone wants to ask something. No, okay. So, and that's really when we say Yotzer Or Uvarechoshech, that's the question I alluded to. Is that the Or of the sun, day four, or is that the Or of day one? So that's really kind of interesting that, I don't know about you, but I never really thought about that before. Now, the Iyun Tvila and the Seder Otzer HaTzvilot says the exact opposite. He said the exact opposite. He says, of course, the beginning Yotzer Or Uvarechoshech is the sun. Hameir La'aretz is all about the sun. It's what we would think. And Or Chadash is also about the sun. And now give me this original light that God created. It's also about nature and this that sun. What's this Or Chadash? Because every day there's a notion that that's what I just said. That's why I said Hamachadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Masa Bereishit. Every day God renews creation. So it's not no Or Chadash. The fact that the world exists today is a miracle of God. That's what all the commentaries explain, right? The difference between a watchmaker and a creator of the world is a watchmaker makes a watch and he can drop dead. And that's good. The watch can exist 50 years after you build the house. The house existed for 500 years. You got homes and the builder's been dead for 500 years. That doesn't matter. The house can exist, but the world can't exist without God. God is the source of the world. So every day, God has to recreate the world. Hamachadesh b'tuvah, that's what we just said. Makes a lot of sense. Hamachadesh b'tuvah b'chol yom tamid maseh bereishit. Every single day, God in his goodness recreates the world. We don't view it that way, of course. It's nature, the sun, obviously, but conceptually, religiously. So the Or Chadash, there's no problem here. We begin Yotzer Or Uvorech Hoshev. We talk about nature. And now at the end, we talk about nature, that every single day, we have to give thanks for its sunrise. It's a beautiful idea, of course. It's a hard idea that every single day we should have like Hakara Satov. That's the whole idea. You know, we've heard this theme before, that every day it's a new creation. And that's what we're saying. The Or Chadash is not talking about messianic light or some like God created the beginning and hid for the righteous. It's the sun. The sun we have every day. It's the same idea. Torah has to be accepted new a day, right? B'chol yom yu beinecha. Every day the Torah should be like new, because new is exciting. Old Torah, you know, it should be with that fervor. That's why. That's probably the basic reason why Shavuot has nothing to do with Kabbalat HaTorah. Of course, originally is, you know, that's a theme that comes up here and there. But we're in the middle of Sfiras Omer. We're what are we? 22. We're almost halfway to Shavuot. And what are we counting? We're not, so the Sefer Chinuch, you know, when you go and when you're in camp and, you know, they want to inspire you, so they tell you you're counting from the Exodus, physical freedom, but that's not enough. Physical freedom is enough. The goal of the Torah, what's the point of getting out of Egypt? We don't get a Torah. Why? So that's what we're counting for, the countdown to Torah. And then the Sefer Chinuch says, so why do we count up? We should count down. When you're excited, you go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. You don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's so into this theme that he says, why are we counting backwards? Like, but the truth of the matter, the question really doesn't get off the ground, because that's not at all what, I mean, maybe it's also, but in the Torah, and the pshat of the Torah, that's not at all what the counting. It's mincha chadashat, sviras omer. The omer is the barley harvest. Thank God for the barley harvest. The first, so we bring to the temple, and we count 50 days, and we bring shtei lechem, and we bring two loaves of bread on Shavuot. It's agriculture. Because the Torah doesn't want us to celebrate the giving of the Torah of one day, because the Torah is every day. Hamachadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid maseh bereishit, right? We spoke that God looked in the Torah to create the world. The world, Torah and nature, Torah and the world go hand in hand. So if every day we have an Or Chadash, a new creation, every day we have a new Torah. So it would make no sense to celebrate the holiday of Shavuot, to have a holiday to celebrate the receiving of the Torah, which is why the Torah never gives us the date. The Torah never tells us when we got the Torah. Of course, later on, I mean, we discussed, maybe you've heard these things before, maybe not, but later on, when the Jews are exiled in the year 70, Shavuot sort of loses its meaning. We're going to celebrate the barley and wheat harvest in Israel, like, you know, you're living in Poland, living in America, like it doesn't work. So the rabbis were brilliant rabbis. They recreated Shavuot. We know the Torah was given around Shavuot. The Gemara has a debate. Maybe it was given the day before, the day after, maybe on Shavuot. It's okay. So doesn't really matter. And obviously what the rabbis were doing was recreating, was giving meaning. We have a yontif, but it lost its original meaning, so we gave it new meaning. That's a beautiful idea. We have new chidushim in the Torah, new insights in the Torah. But anyways, that's I don't know why I'm talking about this exactly, but mechadesh b'tuvah b'chol yom tamid maseh bereishit. I know why, because Torah is new every day. Torah is not for one day. Torah is every single day. The way we do it, they knew, so we have Shavuos. Okay, it's also good. At least one day a year, then it gives us strength for the whole year. So I think that's just a fascinating, interesting idea. This little line, Or Chadash Ol Tzion Tir, that we say every single day. I don't know about you, but about me, you know, I didn't think about it too much. What's Or Chadash, Yotzer Or? But it's just an interesting debate with, if it's talking about nature or talking about some messianic light. And then what's the first one talking about? Because the problem had to do with the themes. The theme at the beginning and the end are supposed to equal each other. That's why beginning, the rabbis, oh, it's a mistake. The beginning is about nature. The end is about the light of the redemption. We can't say it anymore. We're not going to say it because it's wrong. And they say, no, it's right. Either the beginning you thought was about nature. No, it's about redemption. Yotzer or Baruch Hashem. And the end, you thought about redemption, some new light in the future. No. That's the sun rising every day. That's really the three ways to look at this last line of Or Chadash Ol Tzion Tair. Now, there's another thing. I guess it's connected a little bit. The H. Yosef also in this is one of the classic commentaries on the Siddur, Otzer HaTfilot. So it's got at the bottom, you know, different commentaries on the Seder, if you can see. Anyway, so the H. Yosef on the bottom explains what are we praying for? Or Chadash Ol Tzion Tair. He's focusing Niske Kulanu Mehira LaOro. So what's Niske Kulanu Mehira LaOro? Let us merit quickly the light of God. Right? So what's that? So he says that's referring, this is a prayer for the coming of the Mashiach. So, you know, it was I don't know, cute. Yesterday for Yom HaTzmut, so when we had a tefillah chagigit. So we say most of the psukei de Zimri say on Shabbos. I don't know. I'm sure maybe some of you had that. Many of you in your own shuls, and then we say Hallel, of course, and then we say the Haftorah Ora Yom Benov Lamod. There's no laning. It's a Wednesday. They did Ora Yom Benov Lamod. So I know in chat, which is where I definitely, of course, where I teach. So at the end of every year, so they sing Ani Mamin when they take off their tefillin. They sang, you know, on Yom HaTzmut. They sang it. So it reminded me when I grew up, I went to Camp Mosheva. So when in Camp Mosheva in Ennismore, Ontario, outside of Peterborough, for those who know, whatever, not IO or whatever. So we used to sing Ani Mamin every day, taking off the tefillin. That's what we did. Before I put on tefillin, more years, I went to camp, 10, 11, 12. You sing Ani Mamin. That is a very beautiful idea. In COVID, when COVID struck, so I didn't go to shul for a year, or not quite a year, but the backyard minion. Even to a backyard minion, I didn't go. There wasn't one until about 4 months later. So everything I davened at home. So it was March, right at the end of March, so the weather was starting to get nice. So I davened on the porch most days. And you know what? It took me twice as long to daven. I would say every word, actually. You know, I didn't have to keep whatever I often. And I would sing Ani Mamin. I reinstituted that practice that I would sing as I took on my tefillin every day, Ani Mamin. It's a beautiful idea. I don't know if a rabbi can try it in the shul, what would happen. I mean, maybe in certain shuls, but in many shuls it wouldn't go over well, but it's a really beautiful idea. I don't do it anymore. You know, I'm back to shul, you know, gotta, you know, the old joke, the minion, where I got daven them, the 620 minion at Orchheim, where I go to shul, that's the minion. If you don't have time to daven by yourself, you can go to shul, you know, like, anyways. Okay. If you didn't get that joke, that's a good thing. So he says, when he's get kulana mehirela oro, this is a bracha. This is a prayer for the Mashiach. What does he mean? So we have, when is the Mashiach coming? Okay, so we've discussed, I showed to you just a few weeks ago, the Rambam in the last, the 1,000th chapter of the Mishnah Torah says, don't waste your time worrying about when the Mashiach is going to come, because it doesn't lead to Avat Hashem and it doesn't lead to Yirat Hashem. It's such a beautiful Rambam. What are you wasting your time on Narishkeit worrying when, you know, when the Mashiach will come, when we treat each other nicely, when we don't have any sinachim? Don't worry about when we can get along as people. We can compromise and work out our big issues together without yelling and screaming at each other. That's what Mashiach. Don't waste your time. This rabbi had a dream, and this one, this, that. The Rambam says that's shtuyot. So narishkeit, idiocy, right? Three languages. Okay. So the Rambam says it doesn't lead to love of God, doesn't lead to fear of God. So what are you wasting your time? That's what we got to do. But no, so when you go to, so the pasuk in Yeshayahu says, "Be itach ishena." Right, that's Be'ita, the Mashiach will come in its time. Achishen, I'll bring him quickly. He will come quickly in its time. Well, that's a little bit contradictory. He'll come quickly in its time. It's quickly, then it sounds like it's before the time. That's what they, maybe it's not a contradiction, but the manner how we speak, but in the Talmud, they interpret it as a contradiction. It says, no, if the Jewish people merit, he'll come quickly. If the Jewish people don't merit, he's going to come regardless. By the way, the Rambam doesn't agree with that, Gemara. The Rambam paskins differently. The Rambam says Mashiach will only come when the Jewish people do tshuva. We mentioned before Rav Soloveitchik in Al HaTshuva, such a beautiful piece. In Al HaTshuva, in the tshuva drushes, the Rav used to give between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, printed by you know, Pinchas Peli put a bunch of them all together. So the Rav says, I don't understand. The Rambam says, if the Jewish people don't do tshuva, the Mashiach won't come. So he says, I don't understand. How can we say? How can the Rambam write? Ani Mamin. I believe in pure faith that the Messiah is going to bechol yam shavo achakalo. I'm going to wait for him every day. What are you talking about? Jewish people might never do tshuva. We've been at it for 2,000 years. Obviously, we haven't done such a great job. Why do you think he'll be better in another 2,000 years? No reason to think that. So the Rav says, a beautiful idea. Belief in the Mashiach means belief in the Jewish people. We must believe the Jewish people are going to learn. Are going to learn from, and one day we'll do tshuva. That's all. And he says it's a hard belief to have. You look around, it's not so easy to believe that. But ultimately, belief in Biyat HaMashiach means belief in the capacity of the Jewish people to do wonderful things. We do many, many wonderful things, but okay, we're not quite there yet. Atchalta the Gula, the middle of the Gula, we're still, as we see what's going on. Maybe if they work out a compromise, and I believe Isaac Herzog is playing such an important role, and if, please God, he can be successful in his bringing the sides together. That's the beginning of the Mashiach. That's Mashiach time. Look, we have many wonderful things going on. So that, but that we don't yet have. We don't have the Abad Chinam. There's still too much. Anyways, I don't want to get into, I'm not talking it as politics. I'm talking from as a religious point of view. Whatever your view is, we should just have to agree. We have to work out together, even if we disagree. That's the, not who's right, who's wrong. We have to come up with, I mean, I have views on who's right and who's wrong, but that's not the point. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik says. So praying for the Mashiach or belief in the Mashiach is, means we believe in the ability of the Jewish people to become a redeemed nation and to repent. It's a beautiful idea. Anyways, but in the Talmud, it's presented. That's what I said is an argument. It's a machlok in the Gemara. Will the Mashiach come anyways or not? And the Rambam rules like the view. I mean, rule, it's hard to rule on these issues, but the Rambam rules, so to speak, that, no, Mashiach won't come until, we do tshuva. But here, this idea of Ita Achishena has the idea that the Mashiach will come. And it's due course, or if we can bring him quicker, there's a final date. So that's what he says. We pray that the Mashiach could come mehira quickly. In other words, that we, whether it means we do tshuva or whatever it means, that, yeah, that's what it means. If he's going to come quicker. So if niskeh kulon, then we'll see the or of the Mashiach. We'll see the light of the Mashiach. And the niskeh and the schut also, he mentions two other things, right? You know, Hillel, I think it was Hillel, not Hillel, the famous Hillel, the less famous Hillel. I think that I assume it's the one who made our calendar. He should be pretty famous, but he's not the Hillel and Shammai famous. You know, the Hillel, the calendar we have, our 19-year cycle and leap years and all that kind of stuff, that that calendar was made, I believe, a scholar say, established in the year 359 of the Common Era. And it was done by Hillel. Hillel was like a descendant, I don't know, more than 10 generations after the original Hillel, the descendant of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, a number of generations after him. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is a descendant. The editor of the Mishnah is a descendant of Hillel. But anyways, this Rabbi Hillel made the calendar. So this Hillel said, I think it's the same one, said he doesn't want to live in the time of the Mashiach. I don't want to be alive in the time of the Mashiach. Why does he want to be alive? Let the Mashiach come in when I'm not around. Why? Why would somebody not want to be alive? Don't most people want to be alive to greet the Mashiach? I don't want to be alive when the Mashiach comes. Any ideas? Okay, so he says, you know why? Mashiach coming. Oh, there'll be a world war, Gog and Magog, the Gemara, all kinds of upheaval, and then other upheaval. I don't need that upheaval. It's not for me. I don't want that. It's like, you know, it's not worth it. One Jewish life isn't worth the Mashiach. That's a very, like, Rav Chaim Soloveitcher. I don't know if I'm quoting him directly on this, but the idea, you know, we don't want people to have to die for the coming of the Mashiach. Better the Mashiach doesn't come. Better live and the Mashiach then comes. Like what Rav Soloveitcher said. Better not to have Yerushalayim and people not die. I mean, that's Rav Soloveitcher's famous idea. You give up Jerusalem to save one Jewish life. To save only one person, you give up Jerusalem. He's not talking politics. He's talking, in other words, you could argue that if we give up Jerusalem, it'll be more dangerous. That's what he was saying. But in other words, if you had a Navi or Rav Soloveitcher said, if you had a military general, the military general's assessment was that if you divided Jerusalem to pre-67, and that would bring peace. Of course you do it. Absolutely you do it. No piece of land is worth one Jewish life. No temple is worth one Jewish life. And not even the Mashiach is worth one Jewish life. That's a view that I like to stress because I think many people don't hold that view for some reason. That used to be the very dominant view. That was Rav Avadi Yosef. All the Gedolim held that view. Pikuach Nefesh is doch every, we know we eat on Yom Kippur. What do you mean? Because why should somebody die for Israel? Pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh defeats everything. I don't want to get into all discussion. The minchat chinuch. Okay, war. Yeah, people. Let's leave that discussion for a second. It's an important discussion, but too far afield. But the idea that Yemana Mashiach isn't worth one Jewish life. I think that's that. If more people can live, we can live without the Mashiach. If the Mashiach is going to come, people have to die for the Mashiach. It's not worth it. That's wild. But anyway, so that's why it's with the, I don't want to be alive. I don't want all that stuff. Forget it. I'll live in another generation. So the H. Yosef says, no, that's only if we're not worthy. In other words, when there are going to be wars and tension before the Messianic era, that's when the Mashiach is coming on its destined time when we aren't worthy. But if we're worthy, if Niske Kulanu Mehira, not only will he come quickly, he'll come without pain. The Mashiach will come in a very peaceful way. So that's a very, very beautiful idea. The Mashiach, we don't know, as the Rambam writes, we don't know how he's going to come. And don't waste your time on it. But we can pray for it. That's okay. Once in a while, every morning, we say four words. So have in the back of your mind, we're praying the Jewish people should come together to bring the world, make the world a better place. The Mashiach will come sooner and he'll come without pain. He'll come in a miraculous way. That'd be like, unfortunately we're not there. We have Yom HaZikaron before Yom HaTzmaut. It's such a sad, tragic, but also beautiful that we know there would not be Yom HaTzmaut with Yom HaTzmaut. Hazikaron, but there's pain and suffering to have a state of Israel. It didn't come easier. Of course, having a Shoah is a lot worse. That's without state of Israel, 6 million people died. It's a lot worse, but still doesn't take away the pain. So we're praying for the day where lo yisagoy al goy charev, lo yimudu ad ish mechama, nation shall not lift up sword against nation. That's what we pray for. And then when we say every day, niske kulanu mehira l'ro, we should have the light of the Mashiach. Yeah, that's what he says the or is. And, but that means it's mehira. That's why I say it's gekulon mehira, quickly. We should do it with, repentance, and therefore we'll have it without any suffering. Okay. Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer HaMo'arot. Blessed God, the creator of light. Okay. Any questions? Because now we're going to move on to the second bracha. Anybody want to unmic themselves or
ask? Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, Zev.
What happens on Friday night when God stops creating? How does the universe exist?
So, like I say before, that question doesn't bother me. Like, okay, what does it mean God creates the world? And it doesn't, obviously the world didn't disappear overnight and be created again, but it's the idea that if God would cease to be engaged with the world, it couldn't exist. In other words, the existence of the world is dependent on God allowing it to exist every day. Unlike the home that the builder dropped dead, the builder, you have no say. Listen, you can't control a company in the grave, you know, the CEO, you know, you can't, you know, that's it. Things happen in life that you can't control. You can put in all the safeguards in the world, you know, people with their money, what they want to spend, and business people instruction. It doesn't work that way. The next people take over and they do what they want. So it's not like that with the world. The world only exists because God, I don't know that it's not like literal. So what happens on Shabbos? So God's a Mechal Shabbos, you know, like the truth of the matter, we are Mechal Shabbos every week. we learn Hilchot Shabbos from the Beit HaMikdash, right? However, it's actually a debate. Do we learn it from the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, the operation of the Beit HaMikdash? That's a debate. In other words, we learn from the Mishkan. Does it mean the running of the Mishkan? There were 39 activities how the Mishkan run. Or does it mean, no, when they built the Mishkan? Okay, not for now. The Mishkan itself runs on Shabbos. The Beit HaMikdash ran on Shabbos. They did Chilul Shabbos. They brought Korbanos. So it's, again, not for now, but just to think about that. Why? In other words, we know they didn't construct the temple. They didn't construct the Mishkan on Shabbos, right? The Mishkan construction had to stop for Shabbos. But once it's built, it runs 24/7. It really runs only in the daytime. They don't do anything at night. It's also very beautiful. Or Chadash, without or, God, light, spirituality. So the Beit HaMikdash is quiet at night. No sacrifice were allowed to be brought, nothing. Just the burned over of the leftover fats. That's why Mariv is a lower status tefillah, right? So the Beit HaMikdash ran on Shabbat, so that question doesn't really bother me. I hope, you're not upset with my answer, but, it means God's involved in the world every day. Okay. Any other questions? A question that
I was thinking when you were talking about suffering, not the Mashiach, not worth it. Last week in Shul, a Chabad rabbi had the bar mitzvah of one of his sons. And the rabbi's father came from Montreal, and he talked
about the Mashiach.
And not only that, but
it's different. What can I tell you?
No, but he said, look how much trouble there is in the world. That tells you how close.
Right. So that doesn't have to be true, right? There's so much trouble in the world. The Mashiach is coming. You know, I'm of the Norman Lamb, we don't, every time there's Messianic speculation, disaster happens. It's very dangerous. Learn Jewish history. All Messianic speculation generally happens after disasters. You know, Shabtai Tzvi is after the Chomenitsky massacres. I'm just saying the messianism of today is connected to the Holocaust. Of course, if you're a historian or a philosopher, you look back, why is it that there's been an increase in messianism? Because after the Holocaust has to be the Mashiach. But you know what? After the Crusades, the Mashiach has come. After this. Don't worry about it. That's what the Rambam's saying. I don't buy all that stuff. I don't know. I want to believe the Mashiach come without suffering. Like, it's not worth all the suffering. I can do without Mashiach. Don't have any of the suffering. That's what we're saying. That's what we're praying for. So the fact that they're suffering is not a proof the Mashiach is coming. People say it offers comfort. I think it's false comfort. I'm sorry to say, in my humble opinion. The Rambam does say, I actually taught this at Shal Shudas last week, and then I do want to move on, and then I'll take questions at the end. I'm sorry, but thank you. Thank you for that. The Rambam does say, remember that Christianity and Islam, we went through that. I pointed out, I don't remember when, but in the uncensored, it was censored out in the original versions of the Rambam. It's so powerful. The Rambam says, Lo machshavotai machshavoteichem. The way God thinks is different than how we think. So he says, Gam Yeshu HaNotzri. That's how he begins. Even Jesus the Nazareth. I forget. And can there be more terrible things that happen because of the Christianity killing all the Jews and replacing the Torah and a new covenant, and God doesn't like the Jewish people anymore? Look at all the evil that came out of Christianity. That's what the Rambam writes. And Rambam considered it idolatrous. Nonetheless, the Rambam says, but God's ways are not our ways. Yeshu, Jesus, and Muhammad, who he doesn't have so much negative, he's much more negative on Jesus than on Muhammad, they paved the way for the Mashiach, especially the Christian. They talk all day on the second coming, new coming. So they prepared the world. They prepared the world for the coming of the Mashiach. That's a great favor the Christians did for the world and the Jewish people. So when the real Mashiach comes, the world will accept him, because everybody knows, there's going to be a Messiah. We're arguing who's the Messiah going to be. Okay, that's a technical argument, but nobody argues that there will be a Mashiach. No, that's how the Rambam writes, and it's pretty wild. And but anyway, so I've always been a big believer. Messianic speculation is not for me. I think it's dangerous, and I think Jewish history has proven it's dangerous. It's like the same. The world does. The Torah doesn't talk about the Mashiach age. It doesn't talk about Olam Haba. Our world, our mitzvah is to love your neighbors yourself, to give charity, not to gossip. That's what a Jew has to do. Don't worry about the Mashiach. Worry about keeping honesty in business, and that's what you got to worry about, and not revenge. Don't worry about when the Mashiach will come. That's my view. You're free to disagree with me, but I think this is the classical Jewish view. Yes, we have periods in history where messianic speculation increases, and that's usually, obviously, the creation of the state of Israel is a good reason. But we discussed just last week, was it here? Was it, I don't remember, was it this year or another year? Discussed the split in religious Zionism. What's his name? Rav Reines, the founder of the Mizrahi movement in 1902, the founder of the he was not a Messianist at all. He saw no, Rav Soloveitchik was not at all a Messianist. We discussed it. They did not see Israel at all in Messianic overtone. So it is a place for Jews to come, create our own state, beautiful, implement Torah. Nothing with coming to Mashiach. But the Rav Kook vision of Israel, that it's the beginning of the redemption, that's the version that today is probably 90% of religious Zionists hold, the Messianic version. That's not, I'm from the old school. That it'd be nice if the Mashiach come. Great for the Mashiach, beautiful. But I don't view Israel in messianic overtones. It's also very dangerous because it begins to impact your politics, and it can be very not smart, you know, and it can give you, you know, hubris. I don't want to get political, but I do want to point out historically the danger. I think that's why some people, that's why many of the religious people are so anti any compromise on anything, because this is the beginning of the foot and see if the process can't be stopped. That's why the evacuation of Yamit was so hard on them, or on Yamit was old time ago, but in Gaza, because how could it be? How could the process of Messiah reverse itself? But if you believe it's a process, so you're going to make political decisions that can be very dangerous, because you don't think in reality, you think, and God's going to, the Gula can't stop. The Ramban promised us there won't be a third exile. I don't care what the Ramban promised. It's not the other people don't, we don't know, believe me. So, nobody knows. I wrote about that in my Yom HaTzimut Bertor. I made reference to that article if anybody read it. We really don't know. So I think that's the Rav Soloveitchik. We're looking at, yet got to think, Ein Somchim Al Hanes. You don't rely on miracles. We don't rely on God. We have to live in the practical world. And you have to build a fence on your house. No, the guy's destined to fall off the fence, right? As Rashi said, why build a fence on my roof? The guy's going to die anyways. Doesn't God? That's not your problem. Don't worry when the guy's going to die. You have to build a fence. You got to do what you got to do. Don't worry about God. Don't tell God when to bring the Mashiach. It's not your responsibility. Ain't something melanase. We live in the world, not where that God's going to interfere. That's it. That's why Rav Soloveitchik and others were very much opposed to Messianic expectation. The Norman Lamb, he wouldn't say, I told you, they wouldn't say Reshit Tzmichut Kulatenu when he was the rabbi in the shul. So I will say it. I'll say, I hope, but I don't, he's more consistent, I guess, than I was. What can I tell you? Anyways, can we move on? I don't want to spend too much time about it, but I guess that's what it says, Or Chadash. So it's an important subject, but I think I like the Rambam. Don't worry about it. Do Avat Hashem and Yirat Hashem, and the Mashiach will take care. So one last thing I was going to say, because I thought I would get to here last week, but I'm always, 5 weeks behind in where I'm going, because I always, go on tangents and everything takes longer. Baruch Hashem, it's good. Like Rivka Press-Schwartz said, when she gives her regular shiurim, she knows this is 52 minutes, 49 minutes. You know exactly. But when she's teaching a new topic, you never know how long it's going to take. Since I've never taught this before, it's hard to know how long is it going to take me to get through my page of notes. So it always takes longer, which is good. I think it's good. If you disagree, you can let me know. Whatever. Okay. But I was going to say last week, which was Rosh Chodesh, that maybe the Or Chadash, it refers to the light of the moon that got hidden, right? Shnei HaMorot HaGedolim, right? The famous rabbinic, teaching, God created two great luminaries, the big luminary and the small luminary. What do you mean, two great? Why is one big, one small? That's the midrash. The moon complained to God. You can't have two kings. Can't have a running two CEOs, two Rosh Hashivas. Ain't going to work. One leader. So God said, okay, the sun will be and you'll be smaller. And that's what we say in Kiddush Levana, Limalot Pigimat HaLevana. We want to fill the whatever, how do you translate Pigima? The defect in the moon, the defective moon. That's what we pray every month, Kiddush Levana, to restore the moon to its original glory. That's, we say that Shtei Hamorot. So maybe the Or Chadash, perhaps Amrash Kodesh, it's a nicer interpretation. On the 7th of Iyar, it's not quite as good, but okay, that the Or Chadash may be the restoration of the moon. Okay, let's spend a few minutes on the second bracha, Abba Rabba Abtanu. So I'll start with a little cute story, Abba Rabba Lab. By the way, you'll notice right away, I'll just say there's a lot to say here. Obviously, I'm not going to get to what I have in my notes, but Abba Rabba. This is love. We move from nature to Torah, right? Talking about nature, I mentioned earlier, nature and Torah flip sides. Same coin, God is the creator of both. He looked in the Torah and created nature. So Abba Rabba, we have one bracha on nature, Yotzer Morot, all the, right? And one bracha on Torah, the love of Torah. But you'll notice it's in second person. The Yotzer Morot in third person, right? God who brings light to the world. This is you, God, love us. It's a much more intimate feeling. It's the Torah. So that's just take a look at how the grammar. Avinu Malkeinu, we're talking to God in a direct way, in the second person, not in third person. You know, in yeshivas in Israel, like, I don't know what it's like anymore. When you go to yeshivas, a lot of yeshiva in Israel, they talk to the Rosh Yeshiva in third person. Rav Amar, the rabbi said, you're standing to talking to the rabbi and say, the rabbi said, so I think you heard the story. I don't know if it's really true. They say Rav Lichtenstein, when he first came, some Israeli went over and said, Rav Amar. So Rav Lichtenstein, which rabbi? Like, who are you talking about? Like, cause we Americans, I can't talk to somebody in third person. There's like out of respect, there's a distance between the student and the teacher. You talk to the student and the Rebbe in third person. I would cringe if anybody would ever talk to me in third person. But there's an intimacy in second person. So that's in the sense what we're there. When it comes to God's creation of nature, that's like beyond man. That's like, whoa, God, like, you know, when we talk to God, show love for us. Love is intimate. Abba Rabba, intimacy. And the Torah, that's our creation. So we move into in second person. But I'll start with a story, although either I remember the story slightly incorrectly or there's some text that I can't find any trace of, but I'll say it anyways. It was at my first cousin's wedding, and my uncle was the father of the bride. The wedding was in Hamilton, Mr. Zucker, at my uncle, you know, Israel Silverman. So he was the Masari Kiddushin at his daughter's wedding. When was a long time ago, probably 35, 40 years ago. So that's why I may not remember the story 100% correctly, but it was a beautiful idea. It stuck in mind. He explained the difference between Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. So we'll start with Nusach Ashkenaz because that for sure works. So in Nusach Ashkenaz, we say at night, Avat Olam, and then we go in the morning to Ava Rabba, right? If you notice, right, Avat Olam Ahavtanu, what's it in Mariv? In Mariv, I'm not dubbing Mariv now, so I don't know how Mariv goes. How does Mariv go? I am Avat Olam Avtanu, right? Oh, Avat Olam Beit Yisrael Amcha Hapta. Torah Mitzvah. Avat Olam. Love of the world. Okay, eternal love, whatever. But love of the world. Avat Rabba is great love. And he said in Nusach Sfard, it goes Avat Rabba. And then it goes to Avat Olam. If you notice in your Nusach Sfard Siddur in Shachrit, it doesn't say Avat Rabba, it says Avat Olam. So the truth of the matter is, I haven't found the Sfard Siddur that has at Mariv Avat Rabba, but be that as it may. So the way he explained, he says, there are two ways you can look at love. This is under the chuppah, you know, what else are you going to talk about? So he says that you can begin with Avat Rabba, Avat Olam. You can begin with great love, ava rabba, tremendous amount of love, but it's, and then you have to move that love to everywhere. You begin with lots of love, and then you have to make sure you love everybody. Or you begin with avat olam. First, you love everybody, but you love everybody, you can't love them so much, you know. And then you move to ava rabba, to a lot of love. So I don't know if I'm really repeating it as well as he said it at the time, but it was just sort of an idea. When we have love, do we begin with the quantity or the quality, really? Avat olam is the quantity. You have to love everybody. And avat rabba is the quality of the love. You know, so you have to have both. We need lots of love, and we need to love lots of people. The question is, how do you start? Do you start, l'avavta l'recha kamoch, it's this week's parsha, to love one person at great intensity, and then you expand that love? It's sort of, I love everybody, but it doesn't mean anything. And then I've got to sort of focus that love onto everybody. No, I thought that was a nice idea. And Dr. Zucker, you know my uncle, right?
No,
in Hamilton. A little bit. You're in the others. Okay.
Yes.
Fine. Okay, so let's go back here. So avat, but in Nosach Ashkenaz you get avat rabba avtavtanu, God loves us. Avat rabba with great love. The whole bracha is about love. Habocher, and it's going to end. Habocher b'mo Yisrael be ahava, right? So again, the beginning and the end, you got ahava, ahava. It's all about love, and I pray that we should have tremendous love. God should have display love, and we should have love of Torah. Now, you mentioned a number of times sort of the connection between nature and Torah. Flip sides of the same coin. That God, nature and Torah go together. The symmetry between the physical and the spiritual world, which is why I've often explained, I've explained it here too, I think in the past, that it cannot be that there are any conflicts between Torah and science. Anybody who believes there's a conflict between Torah and science is a heretic. Because either means you don't believe God gave us Torah, or you don't believe God created the world. If you believe God did both, so it's impossible for them to be a conflict. Now, it's good. It's true. The way somebody can understand science wrong, that contradicts Torah. We can understand Torah wrong, that contradicts science. That's the famous Rambam. Let's go back to the great rationalist, the Rambam. The Rambam writes that if he Bereshit Bara Elohim, the Big Bang theory, that's so if you also want to correlate it to science, Bereshit Bara, there was nothing, and bang, God created a world. But we know the Greeks believed in an eternal world, and the Torah seems not to believe in an eternal world. There was a point of creation, and the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says if he would, he's not convinced, he's not, but if he would be convinced scientifically that the world existed in eternity, he would reinterpret Bereshit. He's not bothered. Bereshit Bara Elohim can mean something. It doesn't have to mean that creation, Yesh Me'ayin. It could mean an eternal world. At that moment, whatever. It's a fascinating Rambam. But it loathed. But we all know that both in science and in Torah, we reinterpret things. And we sometimes change the interpretation and things we thought, which we all know it's true in science, you know, obviously we keep renewing and reviewing and making better science, but it's also true in Torah. Kiddush, we've spoken about new insights, and sometimes those new insights supplant, and we say, no, that you had it wrong. We're not going to agree. The second Beit Din said, no, the halacha used to be A, and now we think it's B, and that happens. So there's always interpretation, but fundamentally, of course, Torah and science have to agree 100% because God is the creator of both. So it cannot be that there's any conflict. The Rav in Alei Teshuva, I mentioned Alei Teshuva before, the Rav talks about physical and spiritual in this, you know, the symmetry between Torah and nature, just like people are physically ill. That's why it's in Alei Teshuva. Talking repentance means you're spiritually ill. The problem, he says, often in life, we know tragically, if a person gets a diagnosis too late, sometimes you're sick without any symptoms. That's very sad. So sometimes people, he's saying, are spiritually sick and they don't even recognize it. That's why the first step in the tshuva process is hakarat hachet. Even before, you know, we admit what we did wrong, right? You have to recognize, yeah, not before you're even sorry for what you did. You have to recognize you did something wrong. Hakarat hachet, you have to know you did something wrong. You have symptoms, and that's often very hard. And as I always like to say, I don't know if I, when I said it here, Newton's third law of a motion to use one example of science and Torah coming together. For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction, right? You can hit a home run a lot further on a fastball than on a changeup because the ball's going a lot quicker. So that's true, of course, in the world of science, and it's true in the world of Torah. Nuclear energy, wow, tremendous power. Can destroy the world or save the world. Get a set of climate, everything you can do. And the more power for good, the more power for evil. And this, of course, it's true in Torah too. Torah is the most powerful, beautiful, wonderful thing in the world, but it can be misused. That's what we call a chilul Hashem, and it often, unfortunately, is misused. So that's, you know, Torah and nature, they work together. They're the two expressions of God. We recognize God through nature, recognize God through Torah. Zev doesn't like what I'm saying, I think, right? Is that true? No. Okay, fine. Okay, just wondering. I like when people argue with me. It sharpens, you know, our questions. Anyways, I see it's 10:26. So let's just we'll just do a quick review, and then I'll take any question. So we discussed, or what does it mean, Or Chadash? We discussed how a general rule, how a bracha has to, we have long brachot and short brachot. In a long bracha, it begins with Baruch and ends with Baruch, like Abdallah or Kiddush, unless it's right after another bracha, like in the Shmon Esrei, or here, Avado Rabbah follows. So it doesn't have to begin with a bracha. But whether it does or it does not begin with a bracha, the beginning theme and the ending theme have to be the same. We have to repeat it. And it's review. That's what I always like to do. You have to repeat at the end what you did at the beginning. You have to bring it all together. What you said at the beginning, then explain, and then come back to the beginning. That's what a good teacher, a good review. So that's what we have to do with every bracha, beginning and end. So that raised the problem. How do we interpret the expression Or Chadash? Because Or Chadash seems to be a new light, not the light at the beginning. Yotzer Or Uvore Choshen. It seems to be different. One is about nature and one is about the messianic light. So that we say, okay, some people, you're right. We're not going to say it. We're not going to say Or Chadash. We'll just say HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid. That we will say. That we will repeat. Yotzer Mor. But we're not going to say Nizkeh Kulanum for an Or Chadash. And some say, no, you misunderstand. The Or beginning, that's not nature. There's no nature. The Or at the beginning is day one, the light that God put away, and therefore that's the light we're praying to come back. And no, the light at the beginning is nature, and the Or Chadash, that's not a new light. That's the fact that the world exists every day. B'chol Yom, tell me, the God's, every day is a new miracle of creation, just like every day is a new Torah, because Torah and nature go together. And that's why there's no date in the Torah for when the Torah was given. That's why the holiday of Shavuot is not about receiving Torah, at least not in the Torah anyways. It's about agriculture, and only later, because Torah has to be every day. And then we discuss this is a bracha nizkeh kulanu for the coming of the Mashiach. And the Mashiach can come quickly or not, depending if we do tshuva. And according to the Rambam, he'll never come if we don't do tshuva. But that's what it means to believe in the Mashiach, is to believe we will do tshuva. And he can also come in a beautiful, painless way where everything is nice and beautiful. Or unfortunately, through world upheaval and tragic events. And I'd much prefer no tragic events and no Mashiach. That's what Hillel said. I think it was Hillel. I don't want to live in a generation of the Mashiach. We don't need the Mashiach for that. We let's do our best so the Mashiach can come without any suffering. Okay. And then we just started the second bracha. We're coming to Shema about Torah, which makes sense, the Shema Yisrael, of course, but it's about love. It's about love, and love is about intimacy, and therefore the brachas in the second person. But love of God and love of Torah, which is going to be the major theme, that's they go hand in hand. Okay, thank you very much. Before I take any questions, just a reminder, of course, I hope you got all the spring classes now we put out. Rav Yoel Binun beginning the Dovrei Ivrit, B'teisha V'chetzi B'yom Rishon, right? Rav Yoel Binun, really, really one of the world experts, as I mentioned, like in Tanakh, one of the founders of Yeshivat Har Etzion, really perhaps a person among the people most responsible for the whole increase in the new approaches in Tanakh study in Israel. So he's not so well known here. because he doesn't speak English, so he doesn't come to America to speak at all the shuls. But he's well worth reading and listening if you know Hebrew. So that'll be at 9:30 before Rabbi Liebtag's class at 11:15. And we have I think three new classes starting next week. Yossi Lindell on the World Torah, Marty Lakshin will be starting a series. So please do join us, and please invite a friend. And now let me take any question if there were any. I hope, or you want to speak up. Is that what you were saying, Marty? I missed you. If that's what you were, that was just adding in. Very, very. I did not know that. Okay, now you understand why. It's very interesting, by that because Lubavitch is into Messianism more, but I think that's very interesting. Lubavitch Nusach HaMitzvah Chadash. Okay, today is National Arbor Day in the U.S. I did not know that, including remembering living trees around the world that are 7,000 years old, a natural fit with what occurs during Shavuot. Great Shavuot. I mean, all our holidays have nature, but the other holidays also have history. Pesach and Sukkot also have history. They don't have any nature. They add nature. Shavuot, at least from a Torah perspective, at least from the written Torah, has nothing to do with history. It's the connection. It's the finishing of the agriculture that began on Pesach, right? The 50 days. It's connected. It's the end day of Pesach as an agriculture, the beginning of the wheat harvest. Okay. So many people with hitting agendas cling to and trying to hasten the coming of the Mashiach. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what you mean, but right. I know what you do, what you have to do. Father, the Mashiach will take.
Was it on city property?
I'm sorry, I don't know if that's talking us or no. Okay. Doesn't everyone in the Chagim, both the physical and spiritual component, inherently? Yes, except for holiday of Shavuot. Today, Shavuot has the historical notion of Kabbalah Torah, but that's not mentioned in the Torah. That was my whole point. That's a later, I'm claiming it's a later edition. I know Rabbi Liebtag claims it's there in the Torah, hidden beneath the surface of the Torah, but even he'll agree it's not written in the Torah. In other words, in the pshat of the Torah is Shavuot has nothing to do with Matan Torah. You want to find hints? Okay. Find hints that the Torah was given there. But, obviously it got, it's changed. We focus on Zman Matan Torah Tenu because it really goes against what I said. B'chol yom yubeinecha. Every day the Torah should be like new. We renew Torah every day. If the Torah is given one day, it's not exactly, a contradiction, but it sort of loses something. Torah is every single day. That's why there's no special mitzvot on Shavuot. There's no shofar. There's no matzah. There's no sukkah. There's no fasting. What are you doing with eating cheesecake? I'm sorry, it doesn't cut it. Like, that's not exactly, there is no mitzvah on Shavuot because the mitzvah, if you want to look at it that way, because Torah, like we celebrate it, because it's Matan Torah Tenu, Torah is everything, not a mitzvah to celebrate Torah. You know, we celebrate Torah, keeping the Torah. When do we keep Torah? 365 days a year. Okay, let's see. Let's get back to the sitter. Yes, okay. I hope I got back on time to the sitter. Okay. Yeah. I said, if you don't like my tangents, let me know. Thank you. Apropos nature and Torah. Rav Soloveitchik taught there's a triad. Nature, revelation, and history. Yes, thank you. And the triad appears. Thank you, David. And thank you, David, for suggesting that Rav Yoel Ben-Nun speak. I hope you don't mind it. I thank you publicly. The idea to get Rav Yoel Ben-Nun was David Eisen lives in Beit Shemesh. And he said to me, why don't you invite Rav Yoel Ben-Nun to speak? And I sort of said, okay, how do I get him? And Rabbi Liebtag, I asked Rabbi Liebtag and he asked him, and that's how we have it. So I want to thank you, David, for that. And at least it's only 4:30, 5 o'clock in Israel. When it comes on Monday night, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So, we try to make this a little easier. Okay. There's a triad, nature, revelation, history. Like, what is Jonathan Sachs always talks about? I forget his triad is, redemption, revelation. I think there's a third art. I forget what he uses. Creation, revelation, and redemption. Thank you very much, Marty. Right. So, right. Redemption, Gula, and this triad appears in the three Birchat Shema, right? Yotzer, Orav, Aravan, Gal Yisrael. Okay. Very good. Triad is also the theme of the three Amidot on Shabbat. Okay. Excellent. Maybe we can pick up on that theme and develop that a little later. Thank you for that. Okay. Rav Yoel Ben-Nun. Hold on. Where are we here? Rav Yoel Ben-Nun notes that Shmini Atzeret is an adjunct to Sukkot. Right. Correct. That's the fact. I think the Rambam picks up that the Sfirah Somer is a long Chol HaMoed. They'll just weigh Shmini Atzeret. I think I mentioned once that Atzeret, I believe Shemini Atzeret is not just the Atzeret of Sukkot, it's for all the holidays, but correct. You have Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret and Pesach and Shavuot. Really, there are only two main holidays, Pesach and Sukkot, both on the 15th of the month derived. Shavuot is really just an extension. We know Shmini Atzeret is its own holiday. The sages say Regel B'Pnei Atzmo. It's its separate holiday, but we consider it part of Sukkot. The same thing, Shavuot, it's its own holiday, but it's really part of Pesach. So there's really two holidays. There's Pesach and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a whole different ball game. Yes, in the 7 and 1, correct, the 7. You can't have 49 days of Shemini, of Chol HaMoed at Sukkot time and be in the middle of the winter. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. I think that's it. Anybody else? Thank you very much. Okay. Shabbat Shalom. And yes. Yes, Marty.
Just one thing. Did you have a Rabbi Hecht?
Yes, Rabbi Hecht passed away. For those who knew Benjamin Hecht, unfortunately, he got sick in COVID, the first wave. I think he was in a coma for 3 years. And he's the founder of Nishma. I didn't know him so well, but I knew who he was. And yeah, he passed away this week on Thursday. There was no Benjamin Hecht, Benji Hecht of Nishma, unfortunately. Yeah, yeah. And tragically, his wife died in the middle of, I'm not sure if she died of COVID, she died the middle of COVID, both her and it's a very, very sad. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was my MBA classmate.
Oh, he was in your MBA class. Cool. Yeah, 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 yeah. He was a lawyer also. I think he was a lawyer, but then he went into
No, he took the joint program.
The joint program, the MBA LLB program. Yeah, okay, yeah, they have that in Toronto. I assume they have it in the States, so you can get an MBA and a law degree. It's an extra year, 4 years instead of 3. Okay, any good news people want to pass along? That would be nice, even nicer. And otherwise, wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, okay. All right.
He was a great man, Rabbi Hecht.
Thank you, Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, thank you. Okay, yeah, I'm giving. Okay, be well. Shabbat Shalom.
I'm sorry. Will the new classes have got an email?
Yes, I sent out the email last night, actually, about 9 o'clock. If you didn't get it, email me. But it did go out last night. Anybody who's registered for an A class, it should have gone. You should have received it already. Either, but if not, it's on the website, too, if you want to take a look. But yes, I know emails are better. People, it's right in front of people. So they like that a lot better. But
thank you.
Okay, thank you. Shabbat Shalom. Bye-bye.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.